Hey, good evening, everybody. Mike Malloy here. Welcome to tonight's program. We'll get to this later on tonight, but I'm remembering what was perhaps the scariest part of Orwell's 1984, and that was Room 101. Do you remember that? And I remember as a kid or young adult reading that for the first time when Winston Smith was first threatened with Room 101. And he asked O'Brien, he said, what's in Room 101? And O'Brien looked at him and just said something to the effect, what is in Room 101, Winston, is the most horrible thing in the world. And, of course, as it turned out, for Winston Smith, the most horrible thing in the world was rats. In light of the DOJ memos that were released today, about four or five pages of which I downloaded, I think it runs about 65 pages. That's what the PDF file says when you go to print it off. When I read some of those memos today and what constituted official Bush policy and how they arrived at that policy, I just kind of sat there dumbstruck. I mean, not that any of this was new. I think we all know now that the official policy of the Bush crime family was torture. And in effect, in applying that policy, putting every single American and every single American soldier, Marine, Airman, and sailor at future risk. God help the next American military man or woman who is captured by people who are associated with organizations that had people that we tortured. It is going to be horrifying. And as far as these right-wing sniveling bastards in this country, the Republicans who still deny that the practices were torture, let me ask you something. If an American soldier had been captured, or a handful of them, or 300 of them, and put through what we have put through, or put these people through, do you think that there would be a single Republican in this country who wouldn't be screaming torture? Of course not. But Republicans are the filthiest sons of bitches ever to arise to power, all of them. And it's a shame that we have to share our Democratic Republic with these pigs. So we'll get into that in a little while. We also, another aspect of this is the decisions that were made in Nuremberg in Germany after World War II. In the trials subsequent to that slaughter started by a crazy right-winger named Adolf Hitler, it was decided by the three powers that conducted the trials. That was it three or was it four? I know there were four powers, but I think only three of us. The Soviets really didn't have a legal system, did they, that was applicable to what had gone on. But several of the decisions that were arrived at by the tribunal, by the Nuremberg judges, determined that a defense could not be constructed around the idea that I was only following orders. A defense could not be constructed around the idea that, well, this was legal in Germany at the time. You know, Herr Hitler and the Reichstag passed these laws, so I wasn't doing anything illegal. We're concerned Germany. And the Nuremberg tribunals came to the conclusion that that was, that did not apply. That what the defendants were trying to do was to disestablish their culpability, or if that's a word, because they were acting under orders. I was only following orders. How many times has that been used as a punchline or in a cartoon or a comedy? The Obama Justice Department under Eric Holder has now decided that the people involved one of whom is now a federal judge, this Bybee, that these people are not to be held accountable because, or any CIA people who applied the torture methods are not to be held accountable because they were only following orders and the rule of law as laid out by Justice, now Judge Bybee, and other vicious sons of bitches who came on board to the Bush crime family and went to work in the Department of Justice. Now, I don't know what Eric Holder is thinking. I'm going to play the race card now because I don't know what else to do here. I don't know what else to do. I'm thinking about some of the most horrendous crimes in this country were perpetrated by whites against blacks. And some of these cases have only recently been brought to trial. The murder of the kids in the church bombing in Montgomery. Is it Montgomery? Or no, Birmingham. The untold numbers of black people who were lynched, brutally murdered by whites, and they always escaped. And when they were brought to trial, they were found innocent by all white juries, obviously. Is Eric Holder now going to pursue these cases against people who so obviously violated the law of the land, which was you can't kill people, you can't hang people, you can't lynch people. Well, you can't torture people either, Attorney General Holder. That's against the law, too. So what are we going to have here? Are we going to have a double set of laws? Eric Holder, as the chief law enforcement officer of the United States, will pursue cases involving people who broke the law. Voter fraud, lynching of black people, murder and mayhem that require a federal prosecution. But where it concerns the people who not only violated the law, but took it one step further, altered the law in an attempt to make it appear that they were not violating the law. Those people are not to be prosecuted after what was determined, what we spent a considerable amount of effort at Nuremberg and a couple of years of trials to prove that if you are going to violate the law, if you are going to commit crimes against humanity, if you are going to commit crimes that are especially egregious because it strips away the victim's humanity, then by God in heaven or Satan in hell, you will pay for those crimes. That's what we established. And as a result of that, many, many German industrialists, politicians, jurists, and members of the German armed forces were sentenced to long prison terms or death by hanging. I hate to criticize Barack Obama because, I was one of those people who really felt that change was on the way and that the rule of law would be reestablished in this country. But apparently not. At least not where it concerns arguably the most vicious crimes committed by an executive branch of our government in the history of this country. I guess we could go back to the late 18th century and find some similar crimes, perhaps. But what the Bush crime family did removed the United States from the list of nations that are nations of determined by the rule of law. They've taken us off that. And now Eric Holder and the Obama Justice Department have confirmed it.
nightly ammunition against right-wing rhetoric, get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour. The person authorizing slamming people up against walls, beating them, beating their heads, kicking them, depriving them of sleep for up to 11 days, sending them into psychological torture situations that are straight out of Orwell. Waterboarding, which is, you know, I don't like that term because it sounds like, oh, waterboarding, isn't that what you do at the beach? Waterboarding is, of course, simulated drowning. I'm waiting for the memos to come out from, to be released by the Obama administration that talks about this is just a guess, but it's gleaned from the reports that I've read over the past 3-4 years, the up to 200 people who, let me put this in a very passive voice, who died in U.S. custody. What that means is they were murdered by CIA operatives or private contractors or anyone who happened to be involved in the torture process. Up to 200 people have been killed. O'Brien didn't even kill Winston Smith. But we do. We kill, after torturing, our detainees, our illegal combatants, or whatever euphemistic term that the Bush crime family invented. Now, Jay Bybee is a federal judge now on the appellate court, I believe the Ninth Circuit, which is in California. I think that's where this roach bastard wound up. But the astonishing thing is the detached voice as you read the first 5 pages of the memo. This 57-page behemoth that was signed off on, Jay Bybee, Assistant Attorney General, the last line above his signature, please let us know if we can be of further assistance. Son of a bitch! I don't know about you, Truth Seeker, but truly and certainly tonight, I am ashamed to be called an American. And I would leave this country within the next 10 days if it were not for the fact that I have family here and roots that go pretty deep. I don't want to be a part of this. I just don't want to be a part of this. I really don't. Here's part of the memo. Walling. W-A-L-L-I-N-G. That's one of the torture tactics. Walling, this is what it says in the memo that J.S. Bybee wrote, who is now a federal judge, a federal appeals court judge. Walling plainly is not a procedure calculated to disrupt profoundly the senses or personality. Listen to this. While walling involves what might be characterized as rough handling, it does not involve the threat of imminent death or, as discussed above, the infliction of severe physical pain. Moreover, once again, we understand that use of this technique will not be accompanied by any specific verbal threat that violence will ensue absent cooperation. In other words, the torturer can't say, we are now going to slam you against a wall, and we'll stop slamming you against the wall when you decide to tell us what we want to hear. No, you can't do that. Bybee goes on, thus, like the facial slap, walling can only constitute a threat of severe physical pain if a reasonable person would infer such a threat from the use of the technique itself. Do you hear what this cockroach son of a bitch is saying? You talk about legalese. I am so sick of Republicans talking about, well, that's a trial lawyer. That's lawyer talk. What the hell is this? He goes on. Walling does not in and of itself inflict severe pain or suffering. Like the facial slap, What now, can you imagine a CIA interrogator or a private contractor slapping? Give me a goddamn break. Like the facial slap, Walling may alter the subject's expectation as to the treatment he believes he will receive. Nonetheless, the character of the action falls so far short of inflicting severe pain or suffering within the meaning of the statute that even if he inferred that greater aggressiveness was to follow, the type of actions that could be reasonably anticipated would still fall below anything sufficient to inflict severe physical pain or suffering under the statute. Thus, we conclude that this technique falls outside the proscribed predicate acts. Are you getting this? Well, I've got some more. If you want to hear it, come back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
To listen to Right Wing Radio, here's Mike Malloy.
It is 25 before the hour. We're reading from the top secret report put together by members of one of the most hideous political crime families to come down the pipe since, the Stalinist era, the Hitler era. And what makes it even worse is because we have persisted in this country in buying into the mythology that we're a nation of laws, that there are certain things we don't do. Remember, we are a Christian nation, and a Christian nation is not a Judeo-Christian nation. Remember what Christ was all about, according to the Christians. He came to save the human race from the horror of the Old Testament, from the judgmental, the torture, the slaughter, the incest, the murder, the mayhem that ran through the Old Testament. So Jesus came, and these right-wingers tell you that this is the case. Jesus came and brought redemption, and we are free from all that horrible stuff that was perpetrated, vis-a-vis the Old Testament. Well, if you want to believe that, I have a bridge in, Brooklyn, that might be up for sale. Before I go on, here's a quote from Supreme Court Justice Louis Brandeis from a long time ago. The quote reads as follows: "The government is the potent, omnipresent teacher. For good or ill, it teaches the whole people by its example. Crime is contagious. If the government becomes a lawbreaker, it breeds contempt for law. It invites every man to become a law unto himself. It invites anarchy. To declare that the end justifies the means, to declare that the government may commit crimes, would bring terrible retribution." Really? Can somebody send a copy of that to Eric Holder? Now, that's a quote from Judge Louis Brandeis. Here's one from President Barack Obama, in an interview that I think he gave today with CNN Latino, the Spanish-speaking CNN, he said, quote, In releasing these memos, it is our intention to assure those who carried out their duties, relying in good faith upon legal advice from the Department of Justice, that they will not be subject to prosecution. End quote. I would think that Barack Obama, being a constitutional law professor at one time, would be very familiar with Justice Louis Brandeis' feelings about lawbreaking. Regarding Abu Zubaydah, who at the time of his torture was around 30, 31 years old, after it talks about walling and depriving him of sleep, then comes this. You would like to place Zubaydah in a cramped confinement box with an insect. You have informed us that he appears to have a fear of insects. In particular, you would like to tell Zubaydah that you intend to place a stinging insect into the box with him. You have orally informed us that you would in fact place a harmless insect, such as a caterpillar, in the box with him. Finally, you would like to use a technique called the waterboard. In this procedure, the individual is bound securely to an inclined bench, which is approximately 4 feet by 7 feet. The individual's feet are generally elevated. A cloth is placed over the forehead and eyes. Water is then applied to the cloth in a controlled manner. As this is done, the cloth is lowered until it covers both the nose and mouth. Once the cloth is saturated and completely covers the mouth and nose, airflow is restricted for 20 to 40 seconds due to the presence of the cloth. This causes an increase in carbon dioxide level in the individual's blood. This increase in the carbon dioxide level stimulates increased effort to breathe. This effort, plus the cloth, produces the perception of suffocation and incipient panic, i.e., the perception of drowning. During these 20 to 40 seconds, water is continuously applied from a height of 12 to 24 inches. See, this is just like the Nazis. This is goddamn exactly like the Nazis. Every single little detail, all of it, written down. They were great record keepers, and so were these members of the Bush crime family, who operated out of the United States Justice Department. During those 20 to 40 seconds, water is continuously applied from a height of 12 to 24 inches. After this period, the cloth is lifted and the individual is allowed to breathe unimpeded for 3 or 4 full breaths. The procedure may then be repeated. The water is usually applied from a canteen cup or small watering can with a spout. You have orally informed us that this procedure triggers an automatic physiological sensation of drowning that the individual cannot control. You have also orally informed us that it is likely that this procedure would not last more than 20 minutes in any one application. We also understand that a medical expert with experience will be present throughout this phase. I don't know. Not only did the Bush crime family corrupt the United States military, not only did it corrupt, and it did, you know, I'm not stupid. I know what the CIA did in Vietnam. I know what the U.S. military did, or not the U.S. military, but what our spooks and NSA people did in Central America in the 80s. Come on. But back then, you see, there was no attempt by government bureaucrats to make it goddamn legal. That's the difference. What's the point of going on with this, right? You can download it, the entire thing, if you want to. You really can. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff in here. It's pretty grim to read. And the thing I want to keep in my own mind, and you may want to too, although on the other hand, you and I may want to flush this out of our minds as quickly and as efficiently as we can. But in doing this, the Bush crime family removed the United States from the list of nations that make attempts to maintain as its official policy a respect for the law. That's A. B, the Bush crime family also decided to put forever at risk of extreme torture any American soldier, Marine, sailor, or airman who happens to fall into the hands of people that feel they now have a right to do to our people what the Bush crime family legally did to their people. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? All you little pissant Republicans who are out there dancing around on your butts about taxes, do you understand what this is all about? Hell no, you don't. No, you don't. I don't know how to deal with that. You would like to place Zubaydah in a cramped confinement box with an insect. You have informed us and that he has a fear of insects. And the way this is written, you can fully understand, can't you? The way this is written, the voice, so to speak, in which this is written, was purposely designed and purposely used to give legal protection to the people who are about to commit violations of U.S. law, military, U.S. criminal law, U.S. military law, international law, law established by the Geneva Conventions and the Nuremberg trials and convictions. That's what these people did. J.S. Bybee is now a federal judge. Is this grounds to remove him from office, or is it just... We'll be back.
Blood and toil and sweat and tears, remember. The nightmare lasted 6 long years, remember. The world drowned in the bloody tide of war and death and genocide. 57 million died, remember. It's happening again. It's happening again. Can't you see it's happening again?
Hey, truth seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour, we're talking about the Department of Justice Office of Legal Counsel under the Bush crime family. Memos being released today, some of them. They are fairly heavily redacted, but not where it concerns this first memo, the 18-page memo written by J.S. Bybee, authorizing in pretty definitive detail what the torturers will be allowed to do. There's so much more. This thing is like 57 or 60 pages long. I haven't downloaded it all yet. I printed it all off because it's just, it's pretty bizarre. Now, a lot of people will say, well, Malloy, you know, you're out of your goddamn mind. These people came and killed 3,000 people on American soil and, what are you complaining about? In the first place, that's horse manure. Let's go with the official story. Nobody has been tried and convicted for the attack on this country. One of the reasons is because, according to the official story, all 19 of them are dead. I said the official story. Don't send me emails about photos of some of the 19 hijackers being seen all over the Middle East. I said the official story. Additionally, to hell with it. Yes?
Well, additionally, in my mind, is additionally torture doesn't work. I mean, that there's been
right.
so many studies over and over proving that information that's solicited via torture is useless. And why no one wants to believe that. And I'll tell you why no one wants to believe that. It's because Dick Cheney sits in a chair somewhere and goes, bugs. Send in the bugs. I want big bugs. And that's what happens because there are ghouls like Cheney and Chertoff and the Department of Justice or the Department of Mini True or the Department of, what was the one in 1984? It wasn't the Department of Love and Joy and Happiness, but it was something like that. It was like the Department of,
We are, if we were only on Sirius and XM, I would say right now, we are effed. And I can't say it because we have over the air, listeners, and stations that would be highly offended. But I'm really having some problems with this. I really am. Glenn Greenwald, had a piece over at Salon today, a couple of paragraphs here. He says, I want to underscore one vital point about this controversy that is continuously overlooked and will be undoubtedly distorted today in the event of nondisclosure. These documents are not intelligence documents. That's right. Let me read what he says. They are legal documents, and more specifically, they constitute what can only be described as secret law, under which the United States was governed during the Bush era. Thus, the question posed by the release of these Office of Legal Counsel memos is not whether Obama will release to the public classified intelligence programs. The question is whether he will release to the public the legal doctrines under which the U.S. government conducted itself regarding interrogation techniques that he claims are no longer being used. And Greenwald is absolutely right. These interpretations by swine like Jay Bybee and his associates over at the Office of Legal Counsel in the goddamn Department of Justice. These are opinions that were designed to give cover to the torturers and to give plausible deniability, you'll remember that from the Reagan years, to Bush and Cheney and other people in the upper levels of his corrupt, filthy government. That's all these are. As Glenn Greenwald asks, under what principle of law, under what principle of law was J.S. Bybee writing? Now, Jay Bybee could not have pulled this completely out of his head. There has to be a body of law somewhere that Bybee interprets and then feeds back to the torturers. That's what these memos are all about. So as Greenwald says, what are the legal doctrines? Legal doctrine. If you're a person of color, and you walk into a restaurant in the United States now, and the maitre d' says, I'm sorry, we don't serve you kind of people here. You have a lawsuit under the legal doctrine established by the Public Accommodations Act. Okay? So it's very clear. What legal doctrine established torture as U.S. policy? Where is it? Who wrote it? Who passed judgment on it? Who decided that doctors could be present to assist in torture? That medical personnel could assist in torture? If it was only to decide when the body was about to break or the mind was about to snap. Okay, hold off on the torture for a few moments now and let this miserable bastard regain his composure. American physicians, medical people, I don't give a goddamn if they were in the Army or in the Boy Scouts. They were present. And they are mentioned throughout these documents. If you want to talk about the corrupting influence of the Bush crime family, and apparently it has corrupted the Obama presidency, then you need look no further than the memos just released today. And there are more. Oh, there are many more. Wait till the documents are released, if they ever are, that provide the autopsy reports of the people that our CIA and our interrogators murdered while they were in our custody, and the techniques that were used to kill them. Wait until those are released. Do you think they ever will be? We'll be back in a moment. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back to the Malloy program. 7 past the hour. I'm going back now to what Glenn Greenwald wrote about today at Salon, pretty much in line with what any reasonable human being would conclusion any reasonable human being would come to regarding these torture memos that are now being released. And what Greenwald is pointing out here. Or the question he's asking is not whether Obama will release to the public classified intelligence programs, but the question is whether Obama will release to the public the legal doctrines under which U.S. government conducted itself regarding interrogation techniques, torture. Of course, the Obama administration claims that it's all over now. That's all well and good, but the American people, I think if we are still, don't laugh, I can't say it. I was going to say if we're still a democratic republic, if we're still have a representative form of never mind. But if any of that fantasy were true, then we should know, shouldn't we, what doctrines were used to establish this kind of criminality and make it legal. Every law that has been passed in the United States is open to public scrutiny. And most of the big ones came about as a result of an awful lot of conflict and dissenting opinion. And when it was finally, especially constitutional, I'm talking about constitutional law, especially when it was finally decided, for example, that a woman had the right to privacy to do with her own body, with the assistance of her physician and her sense of ethical conduct and perhaps her partner. When that law was decided, it came about as a result of an awful lot of back and fro, or to and froing, with constitutional scholars who said, "No, there is in the Constitution the implied right to privacy. You can't deny an individual's right to privacy." Now, that only applied in that particular case because it took homosexuals decades after that ruling to have the Supreme Court rule that they had the same right to privacy, you see. So as the laws are debated and then the opinions are handed up so that the American public can then look at them and say, okay, that's the law of land. Okay. But with the Bush crime family, no such process took place whatsoever. Greenwald goes on, these memos were not prepared by the CIA or the Pentagon. To the contrary, they were written by Department of Justice lawyers. Specifically, Office of Legal Counsel Chief Stephen Bradbury, and then the Office of Legal Counsel Assistant at the time, the Assistant Attorney General Jay Bybee. They are not intelligence reports from the field. They are, by definition, by their very nature, nothing more than decrees about what is and is not legal. In other words, they are pure legal documents that state what the executive branch's view of the law is with regard to interrogation tactics. The Office of Legal Counsel is not an intelligence agency. It's a legal agency. Now, this is how the OLC, Office of Legal Counsel in the Justice Department, defines its own function. Here's what it says. Quote, the Office of Legal Counsel exercises the Attorney General's authority under the Judiciary Act of 1789 to advise the President and executive agencies on questions of law. Our office is frequently called upon to address issues of central importance to the functioning of the federal government, and, subject to the President's authority under the Constitution, Office of Legal Counsel opinions are controlling on questions of law within the executive branch. Okay. So under what legal doctrines did the Office of Legal Counsel, and generally and specifically to people in that office, Stephen Bradbury and Jay Bybee, under what principles of law did they come to these conclusions? There was none. There was no principle of law. This is stuff made up on the run. And regardless of what President Obama may say right now, it's still the law. Until it is still an interpretation of the law, I should say. We don't know what the law is. Until the cover of this is ripped off and the American people can see where this came from. What does this mean? How deeply embedded is our society into this swamp now? Can we get out? Who is making an effort to get out? Even the United States Supreme Court, populated by a clutch of conservatives, neo-fascists, even they, still using this apparently anachronistic constitution, had to rule that the process by which these people were being held in Guantanamo was unconstitutional, i.e. against the law. Where are we? Ministry of Love, you mentioned, Kathy, from Orwell's famous book.
Yeah, I thought that had the ring of truth to it, if you'll pardon the pun. It contains Room 101. The Ministry of Love enforces loyalty and the love of Big Brother. That would be Dick Cheney. Through fear, torture, and brainwashing, the Ministry of Love building has no windows and is surrounded by barbed wire entanglements. You know, they read 1984 in the Bush administration, and they used it as a how-to manual.
Mm-hmm.
Steel doors, hidden machine gun nests, armed guards. Yeah, half the time I wonder if they were just stoned, sitting around, you know, smoking something, or, you know, let's use bugs. we tried everything. Well, what do you think? Bugs. Yeah, I mean, I heard that today, and I just about lost it. I thought, okay, first off, Dick Cheney's just in a chamber somewhere with two.
No, I remember you came in from someplace. You come storming into the kitchen, and you said, have you been watching CNN? Bugs!
I mean, the waterboarding is horrifying enough, but, you know, at least they borrowed that from, you know, the Chinese. I mean, that's been around, you know, as a torture device for centuries in medieval times. But the insects, I mean, that's straight out.
That's creative. That's creative. That's creative torture.
Cage on the confined area, and let's put a caterpillar in there and tell him it'll bite him. I mean, I'm not.
Well,
I'm not trying
let's be real here. What they're doing in the memo is offering cover. They're no more going to put a caterpillar in than they were going to put a little kitten. What they were going to put in, I'm sure these rat bastards considered, oh, I don't know, scorpions to be insects. Are they? Are scorpions insects? They're arachnids, aren't they?
Their legs.
Yeah. We'll do it some other time. Maybe tarantulas. Anything with a bite or a sting. Maybe hornets that have been particularly agitated. Hornets that have had to listen to Barry Manilow for an hour and then released into a basket and Abu Zubaydah's head pushed into the basket.
Well, I just want to know what they're thinking. They're thinking, okay, he won't tell us about the other plots against America. I know. Hey, Abu, we're going to send in the bugs. I mean, will you tell us now? I mean, this is just, it doesn't work, people. I mean, I want to do some slamming, what do they call it, walling. I want to do some walling of these people and say, when have we ever received accurate information
torture? And then get this, as Michael points out, Jay Bybee then was rewarded for this, with the seat on the U.S. Ninth District Court of Appeals. Can you imagine what any poor working-class defendant appealing to that court will think about his chances of obtaining justice? As Michael writes, disbarment is too easy for these slimy reactionaries, and I doubt that even that will happen. No, of course it won't. Apparently, the primary function, or at least in the top five primary functions of the Bush or the Obama administration, is to sweep everything under the rug with platitudes about, well, you know, they were legally protected, so we're not going to hold anyone responsible. Can we move on now? We have to discuss this drug war with Mexico.
When it was over, there's nothing left standing, nothing moving, nothing to say. They drove the prisoners east to the boats for their hanging from the gallows overlooking Guantanamo Bay. He's a cowboy president, but he wears a black hat.
Ready for a liberal helping of truth? It's More Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour, Kathy has a quick apology about her reference to pot smokers. Pot smokers do not think up acts of torture. But in the heat of the moment, Kathy made that reference.
Mea culpa. I'm sorry. I'm not familiar with all these fancy drugs everyone's always talking about taking.
The only thing I could ever think up when way back in the day, a million years ago, when I used to get high, was where I could find the next bag of Oreos. That's about it.
Okay, so Dick Cheney and the rest of the crew are sitting around and they're drunk on their butts. They're saying bugs.
There you go. Almost 5 years ago at TVNewsLies.org, 5 years ago, May of 2004, an editorial at that website said, all bets are off, a warning to future American hostages. And it went on to say, hostage taking is now a standard weapon in Iraq. That's a given. At this moment, at least one American soldier has been taken hostage in this insane quagmire. An American contractor has been taken hostage recently as well. Thankfully, the U.S. contractor escaped captivity and is now safe. Hostage taking has a long and painful history in the Middle East, and you can bet your bottom dollar it will continue. In the past, arduous negotiations, sometimes years in the making, have brought some hostages home. In the past, hostages were sometimes unharmed by their captors. In the past, there were deals and hostages survived. That past, however, is over. In light of the recent revelations about our horrid abuse of Iraqi prisoners, what are the odds that our missing men of any future or any future American hostage will ever again survive their ordeals? Americans are not unfamiliar with revenge. The military response to the murders and mutilations of four American security personnel was a devastating attack that killed more than 1,300 people and the Sunni city of Fallujah. Women, children, old people all died in homes discriminately hit by 500 and 1,000-pound bombs. Let me digress for a moment. Remember, they're not talking about the recent action by the Israelis against Gaza. Back to what was written at TVNewsLies.org 5 years ago. This was payback, big time. U.S. Marines went into the city with a vengeance, and their revenge was swift and bloody. But the American wish for retaliation cannot hold a castle to the cultural need to avenge a wrong in the Muslim world. Avenging a wrong is not a choice among most Muslims, for Islamic culture teaches that it is a duty to take revenge against those who would harm you. And it goes on here. But the point, I guess Jesse wrote this, the point being, of course, that the acts of terror against the United States, think Daniel Pearl, who had his head sliced off. Think of all the Americans who were taken hostage and were treated as so much butcher shop meat because of the policies of the Bush crime family. As these revelations are made, and the only people left in the world who don't know what happened at Guantanamo is us. I mean, everybody else knows this. There have been 200 or 300 people, 400, 500 people that have gone through Guantanamo and been released because there was no reason to hold them. No reason to hold them, see. And what was done at just one torture camp? Do you realize how many of these facilities we have around the globe? No, you don't. Neither do I. But we do know there's at least 8 or 10 or 20. Do you want me to go down the list of countries? The names of the countries that have been redacted from the previous set of torture memos that came out that talked about extraordinary rendition, where people were sent by the United States to other countries to be tortured? Jesus H. Christ! And now we're going to sit back and expect that the next time Americans are taken, that they are going to be honored with the Geneva Conventions or the conclusions reached at Nuremberg or international law or any form of law. And wait till the truth of Bagram Air Base comes out. There was a piece written, was it New York Times or Mother Jones or a couple of years ago about the murder. And murder is a legal term, and that's why I'm using it. The murder of detainees at Bagram Air Base, some of them packed into shipping containers, like the ones you see when you're sitting at a railroad crossing and all those shipping containers go by with China or Maersk. That was in the news recently, right? You see those shipping containers go by. Those shipping containers were used as detention cells in Afghanistan with the temperature 120 degrees. And we, our people, CIA, private contractors, I seriously doubt if the military was involved in this, but we put people in there and let them sit down, cook. Literally. Cook. And of course, that's just from scattered reports. Wait till the memos regarding that comes out.
Outrage. Oh, here it is. Back to Mike Malloy.
Having fun tonight? Tuned in to the Malloy Show? And Tom writes in, Mike, about a month ago I wrote you an email saying you cut Obama too much slack, but time would tell. Now time is told. Truth has been revealed. Obama is just another complicit torturer by not prosecuting known torturers. I can no longer support Obama. I had high hopes, but now it is all dashed. Tom in Minneapolis. Yeah, how do we handle this? How do we handle this? I have a hard time attacking the man straight up, because that's what these dribbling pieces of human waste right-wingers do. They attack him because he wants to give them a tax cut. I still can't get my head around all that drama that occurred yesterday. Jesus, God. Jude writes, it's sadism, Mike, sadism. I'm really at a loss for words, as this is sadism. They are diseased of spirit, pathologically insane. They are the visual of an existence when, quote, living in the void, end quote. How does somebody authorize torture like Jay Bybee? And one can surmise, I certainly will, that he witnessed enough of it to make these decisions. He either witnessed it in person or looked at some of the torture tapes, a huge amount of which have been destroyed, lost or whatever. You've heard that, of course. Of course, that's the first thing you do at a crime scene. If you're a criminal, you try to remove the evidence as quickly as you can. But how does Bybee maintain his sanity? How does anybody maintain their sanity when, under imminent threat against myself, my wife, or my child, I have no question I could put a bullet into somebody to stop them. There's no doubt there. There's no doubt there. And I think most people, the fight or flight thing, I don't think there are many people who would run if they felt that they or their family was under imminent threat. I'm not talking about a prowler. I'm not talking about somebody peeking in your bedroom window. I'm not talking about someone who gives you the finger driving down the highway. I'm talking about a circumstance, whatever it was. You can construct your own scenario, but you know on a gut level, that happened to me one time in my life, and I've told that story on the air, where I held a cocked .38 Spanish revolver pointed at a guy's stomach while I screamed at him to get out of my house. And he backed out of the bathroom window through which he came. And I had no doubt, while I was standing there, if he makes the wrong move, I will shoot him. I don't know if I would have killed him, but I will shoot him, because my wife at the time and my, at the time, 8-month-old son were asleep in the other room. So that's not what I'm talking about. I think any rational human being is capable of doing that. I simply do. I don't care what your position is. It's not about guns. It's not about any of that political horse crap. This is about defense. This is about fight or flight. This is about visceral reptilian brain response. Okay? But someone who will take a job where their duties are to go torture someone. Son of a bitch! Who can do that? Well, obviously, there are an endless supply of people who can do that. Who can write the memos legalizing that sort of behavior? Who can do that? J.S. Bybee, who is now a federal appeals court judge, that was his reward for putting at risk for the next 500 years, next 1,000 years, however long there is in America, however long we have enemies. And if the earth doesn't burn up, that's going to be endless. thanks to J.S. Bybee, no American soldier ever will be safe again. Thanks to him. And he is a goddamn appeals court judge. An appeals court. You know, where you feel like you didn't get justice in the lower court, so you go to an appeals court. Someone key the hysterical laughter on that one. Prairie 2 says everything they know came from television. It's well known that the Bush crime family lawyers got most of what they know about torture from watching 24. Fox Channels 24. The business about the bugs must have come straight from Fear Factor. Every show features a clear glass coffin with comely young contestants in bikinis having bugs or snakes being dumped on them. This also explains having Gitmo in Cuba. That way they could vote prisoners off the island at their whim. I'm waiting for the Seinfeld memos to come out. I think Prairie 2 is into the cooking, Sherry, tonight. Well, what else are you going to do? I mean, you can get all crazed like I am, or you can try to find some sort of extra dimension where you can slip into it and, you know. Bob writes, stoned Republicans do think of horrible things like torture. I've seen them. Ever read about skull and bones rituals? Young Republicans can think of the nastiest things. So, yeah, don't forget, the thing about smoking reefer or doing any kind of a drug is what's his name? The guy that wrote The Natural Mind. Oh, Lord, I'm drawing another blank. No, not him. Andrew Weil. Andrew Weil said the thing about getting high is set and setting. Set referring to where's your mind, your mindset. If your mindset, like young Republicans, is all about pain and greed and jealousy and rage and, yeah, you smoke a reefer, you go kill people or torture them. Sure, absolutely. Set and setting. So, yeah. Doug writes, Mike and Kathy, I just left this in the White House email setup. Quote, I'm sad beyond belief. Over the last several years, my beloved country engaged in water torture and other hideous techniques that were systematically inflicted upon human beings. This is not the nation I was taught about in grade school that made me so proud to be an American. Today, we finally can read the truth. Thank you. It is absolutely unacceptable to endorse these horrendous, shameful criminal acts by giving yet another administration a pass. How can I tell my children that there are ever any consequences when Ford pardons Nixon, Clinton ignores Iran-Contra, Bush invades and occupies an innocent country, and now this, the worst of them all. How many of our soldiers and agents will face similar fates and retribution if we fail to take actions we are required by our most cherished ideals to enforce? Failure to punish these deeds will leave us morally and militarily crippled for decades. Please, for the love of and under your pledge to uphold our Constitution, do something this time for once in recent history. Otherwise, these culprits and their spawn, who should have been disgraced beginning in the Nixon debacles, will never stop. I walked miles for you, canvassing for hope last October. Don't dash it now. This is a national security issue of the highest order. End quote. Doug, listening on the web in Montana. P.S. What an ugly day. You know, it's one thing, isn't it? It's one thing to hear about a terrible car wreck up on the interstate. It's something else again to be the investigating officer to see the smashed bodies and an arm laying over here and a leg over there and the person's viscera dumped out on the dashboard. It's a whole different thing. Same car wreck, but a whole different thing. It's one thing to read in the New York Times that there exist memos dictating how to torture. It's something else again to read the goddamn things. And yes, Kathy's pointed out to me that I've said the word goddamn an awful lot tonight. And if it's offending you, I do apologize. But in the context of what we're talking about, using a slang term like that one to me is, I don't know, it's either just totally immaterial, inconsequential, or I'm just, you know, giving way to too much emotion tonight, but I'll try to back off from it. Sorry. But hearing about a car wreck and seeing it, hearing about torture memos and reading them, for me, and you can get these are all over the place, all over the internet. There's a thousand different websites you can go to and download these and read them. Reading the language used and knowing who the people were who wrote these things, who justified this, who participated in the utter destruction of this country. That's almost impossible for me anyway to process. It really is.
Everybody's quiet and peace on earth just as soon as we win this war. So straight ahead, knock 'em dead. Pack your kit, choose your hypocrite. You don't have to go to Off-Broadway to see something plain absurd.
Hey, truth seekers, gather round the campfire. It's more Mike Malloy.
This is, this is one of those nights that when the program's over and, you know, I start thinking about going to bed and going to sleep. It's going to be one of those nights where, I may have to take half an Ativan or drink two glasses of wine because, you know, just the subject matter here. We're not talking about severed arms and legs, but the subject matter is just, I can't get my mind around this. I really can't. I cannot, even though, you know, we've all known this for a couple, 3 years about the torture thing. And like I said, I guess it's actually seeing the memos, actually seeing how this stuff was made legal. And as Glenn Greenwald asked, you know, based on what principle of law in this country was it made legal? You don't just make law. I mean, there is a process. And Greenwald suggested there's some sort of secret law that was used by the Bush crime family. And the son of a bitch was throwing a ball out at the first game of the Texas Rangers the other day. Marshall writes, Mike, my lady and I have discussed this and we both agree here's the problem. The problem with torture. Obama, as the first black president, would open himself up to vile attacks, divisive action by the Republicans leading up to the 2010 election and then building to the 2012 election. If people think what they did to Clinton was tough, they haven't seen anything. Obama would be a one-term president and probably go down with a terrible 4 years if some powers that be don't pull a Kennedy on him. He and his people understand this, but the white liberals in America don't. If Obama opens Satan's box of Bush, Obama also will be swept into hell. Never before in history has an administration like Bush broken so many laws and gotten away with it. If Obama opens that box, it'll be over. And I don't think the liberals understand this. And I don't think they understand what it's like to be the first black president. This hatred of yesterday, teabaggers say, was finally summed up, for I knew it was all along, by Janine Garofalo today, when she said they were so angry and they gathered because they are so upset there's a black man in the White House. Oh, yeah, that was on Oberman's program. People don't walk to talk about the giant people don't want to talk about the giant 700-pound gorilla in the living room. But it is not going away, as you know. And although I may disagree with the Obama administration's decision about this right now, I completely understand. The real blame lays upon the Congress and the people of the United States. During the last 4 to 8 years, we all knew this was happening. Yet the anger was not large enough, like during the Vietnam War, to bring investigations. But now people want the brother to come in there, fix the economy, get us jobs, build the bridges, investigate a president and the CIA, and oh yeah, let's investigate the CIA. That will go over real well. You all trust the CIA not to solve their own problem. Anyway, as Nina Simone said years ago in an interview, it's racism. The people can force their representatives to investigate, but they are too busy allowing their brains to dissolve. As LBJ said to Martin, force me to do this. Force me to do this. It's from Marshall. I understand. I'm trying to think of response to that. And I guess the response to it is because I'm white. Of a certain kind of white. I see Barack Obama, and this has happened, and I swear to God it's happened. I know, I'm an atheist. I swear to, who do I swear to?
The Great Spaghetti Monster.
I swear to the Great Spaghetti Monster that this is true. I see Obama first as the president. I saw him as a black man who wanted to be president. Then I saw him as a black president. And now I swear to the Spaghetti Monster, it somehow it's happened. Something has taken over my brain and I see him as the president. Not being a black man, I don't hook into what Marshall's saying until, once again, until I see it in print. You know, I see it here in the email that he sent me. And then I think, well, yeah, I get it. And that brings, and I'm glad he wrote this, because that brings up the other side of the coin. If this is pursued, we all have heard the racist, crazed, vicious rant. You know the state of Georgia now is talking about secession? It's not just, yeah, Kathy, somebody just sent this to me. It's right here. I'll do it coming back. There is a movement in this country right now that is going to break this country to pieces. If Barack Obama doesn't be very, very careful, yes, I mean, I'll say the A word, he will be assassinated. I think we know this. Who was it that said, no matter what you try to do, you cannot guard anybody in this country, up to and including the President of the United States, 24/7, it can't be done. So what do we do? I asked that question earlier before I got Marshall's email. What do we do? What do we do? Do we shut up? About this, or do we do what Marshall's suggesting and let the people insist? But the people don't care anymore. I mean, not really. What was the first thing out of my mind, out of my mouth tonight when, you know, going through these torture memos when I said, if I weren't so rooted in this country with family and friends, I would be goddamn gone. I would be out of here. This is it. This is it. This is the straw that breaks my back. And I mean that from the bottom of my soul. I've gotten invitations to move to New Zealand, move to, sure you have, moved to the south of France, Malta, all over the planet. And I know you but who can afford, you know, I can't afford to do that. I don't have money. I'm not Limbaugh. I can't do that. And even if I did, you know, this is where I live. This is where my family lives. This is where my grandchildren, you know, what am I going to do? Pack up 30 people? My extended family say, let's go. It's up to the people, isn't it? Huh? People like me, if it's up to people like me, you know what's ever going to get done? Not very much. Not very much.
Together is the music. to the story in your eyes. It's been shining down upon me now.
Welcome back. It's 7 past the hour. This is the Molloy program, and you can make sure it stays on the air by becoming a podcast subscriber. I hate to do this live because it reminds me of when I ran for office here in Georgia and had to call people up and solicit campaign funds. That didn't go very far. But this is something for sale, and is the podcasts. And some other things that we're going to be putting up there, including Molloy's Uncensored Mailbag. Those of you who are subscribers have probably already seen the current video that's up. Nice, huh? Oh, and by the way, that is what you're looking at. That was we shot that on the back porch, right, with the woods behind us? Yeah, okay. So, depending on where we shoot the video, the little 2-3 minute video from Molloy's Uncensored Mailbag, you'll be able to put it all together and get a sense of what it's like here in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains. Anyway, we need your support, and we need you to do it in a form of just purchasing the downloads to this program, the iPod. I'm not iPod, but the podcast to this program, and some of the other stuff that we put on the website. It'll cost you 25 cents a program. 25 cents a program. So support us now, okay? Appreciate it. Go to MikeMolloy.com. Sarah in Brevard, North Carolina writes, Mike, here's my theory on Obama's plan for dealing with the torturers, or maybe it's just my hope. First, he recently was reported to be reluctant to release the torture memos, though advisors like Holder and others wanted to. The opposition came from the CIA. And who are the professional assassins? Many members of the CIA. But he has now released them. He will let other Bush-Cheney crimes slowly leak out until the public outrage finally moves members of Congress to action. Like LBJ said, you make me do it. In the meantime, he will be working on our many other problems. Sarah and Brevard. Yeah, that's probably the way it goes. You know, I get caught up in this stuff. I listen to Barack Obama speak about damn near anything. And I am totally happy that he is my president. And then the stuff will come out about the torture memos, or it'll come out that there is no action planned against these people. And I start to waver. But I'm not applying reality. And I'm not talking about what Sarah or Marshall had to say. I'm talking about the reality of how we're set up. Barack Obama, yeah, his Justice Department probably could do something. Barack Obama can't do squat. He's the president. He can't order an investigation. The chief law enforcement officer of the United States, Eric Holder, can. He can appoint a special prosecutor. He wouldn't do it because it would scream, the right-wing crazy bastards in this country would start screaming partisanship on top of the other things they're screaming at this president. So an independent, prosecutor is one way to do it. Congressional hearings is another way to do it. And those are probably the only ways to do it. But as Marshall pointed out, Barack Obama being who he is at a time when he is president of the United States, let's be real. Let's get real for a little bit. I know it's hard to do, but yeah, for me, it's hard to do. He is risking his life every time he opens his mouth about anything that has to do with the Bush crime family. He is risking his life anytime he, is visible to, these skinhead Nazi racist bastards who, as Janine Garofalo said tonight, who can't handle it because he's a black man. That's real. And I don't know why I waver on that because, you know, before he was elected, I used to talk about that. You know, America, elect a black man, this racist country, please. I used to get emails from people that say, oh, you know, get over yourself. Racism ended a long time ago. Okay, well, whatever. Let's not get into that. All right, now I'm going to read an email from Tom here, and I'm going to give you about 3 or 4 seconds to turn down your radio or your computer because this is very, very, very graphic. I'm serious. This is about scathism or scathism. Scathism, death by insects. Since this freakish lawyer, Jay Bybee, who is now an appeals court judge, said, I understand that you want to bring in stinging insects. Okay. This is what Tom writes. Death by insects is a particularly brutal Middle Eastern torture. It's called scaphism, S-C-A-P-H-I-S-M, or scaphism, also known as the boats. It's an ancient Persian method of execution designed to inflict torturous death. The name comes from the Greek word scaph, meaning scooped or hollowed out, and from the Latin word meaning boats. The victim, stripped naked, would be firmly fastened within a back-to-back pair of narrow rowboats, or in some variations, a hollowed-out tree trunk. His head, hands, and feet protruding from this improvised container. The condemned was forced... Now, I'm serious about... You may not want to hear this. I'm serious. The condemned was forced to ingest milk and honey to the point of developing severe diarrhea, and more honey would be rubbed on his body so as to attract insects to the exposed appendages. They would then be left to float on a stagnant pond or alternately simply exposed to the sun somewhere. The defenseless individual's feces accumulated within the container, attracting more insects, which would eat and breed within his or her exposed and increasingly gangrenous flesh. Death, when it eventually occurred, was probably due to a combination of dehydration, starvation, and septic shock. Well, thanks, Tom. Jesus, God. Scaphism. Right. Sounds like something written by one of our Supreme Court justices.
Yeah, I was just going to say somewhere, in Wyoming, an old man just got excited.
Mm-hmm. Are his initials Dick Cheney? I would think so. I didn't know. Thanks, Tom. I didn't know. You can look it up yourself if you're still listening. Scaphism, S-C-A-P-H-I-S-M. Scaphism. That's where we get the word from the Greek word scaph. That's where we get our word skiff. Right?
There's nothing new under the sun.
No, there isn't. Uh-uh.
You know, they can't come up with anything new. They have to go back thousands of years to find out, you know.
Reg writes, why the outrage? Yeah, torture sucks. It's horrible, inhuman, illegal, immoral, and useless. The details that have been released are being received with understandable outrage and indignation. How could this happen? How could we let them get away with this kind of evil? Okay. But is this really any different from the congressional approval for the shock and awe attack on the population of Iraq and the years of war that ensued? Death and dismemberment by our massive weaponry for all the years of the illegal occupation of Iraq have been no less ugly and no less painful and no less illegal or immoral than the torture we knew was taking place. The nation has known about the torture for years. The photos and the stories and the evidence from Abu Ghraib and Gitmo are not new. The nation shuddered for a moment when they first came out and then went on with business as usual. We have not demanded that Bush and his cohorts be brought to justice for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan or for any of their other crimes. The torture memos are simply another chapter in the saga of the Bush crime family. They are not the worst of the atrocities. Yeah, that's the other thing. To keep it in perspective, I guess what it is, we have been taught, inculcated with the belief that, you know, there is that nations go to war. Every being who has ever lived on this planet, every human being who has ever lived on this planet has accepted that idea, the reality of war, not accepted the necessity of it or the morality of it, but the reality of it, right? So maybe that's why it's understandable when some of us file war away over here and torture of people that we capture for no reason stays right up front. I guess that's it, but of course Reg is right. We'll be right back. Everything is lost.
watching C-SPAN so you don't have to. It's More Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. I've noticed something going on in this country in the past couple of months, ever since the Obama inauguration, and it's getting worse. And Marshall referred to it tonight. A lot of you have referred to it. Roz writes, Mike, you know what they say, a house divided among itself cannot stand. So maybe that's the answer. There has to be a great struggle between the two Americas now in order to put a stop to this rancid hatred that's destroying people, thinking people anyway. Since Bush, whatever evil was simmering just below the surface is now close to erupting. There will be some horrible thing perpetrated on the president or some other disaster to bring it all to fruition. That's when civil war will rear its ugly head. Rioting in the streets and everything that goes with it. The Republicans are a hateful and childish bunch, and they won't sit still for this president showing them up. God, I hope nothing happens, but these people are not called the lunatic fringe for nothing. That's crossed my mind too, Roz. Andre writes, notice how much minute-by-minute coverage we get of these tiny rallies, the teabagging rallies from CNBC, MSNBC, CNN, Fox News. Yet when millions protested vigorously against Iraq and anything else during Bush, we got 10-second video bites. So now the media is encouraging with these other things, a civil war, when for the past 8 years they could have encouraged democracy with impeachment investigations. Yeah. Jay writes, one of the problems with liberal thinking is that we assume or hope that the rest of the world is better than us. How true do you honestly think that is? This is regarding torture. Is it a true argument that the rest of the world, so-called, thumb their noses at us? Or is it more true that the rest of the people like us in the world thumb their noses at us? If the United States government is torturing people, then I definitely make the bet that everyone, or almost everyone, is doing it too. And if that's true, then where are the last few places on earth where common decency and law are still in place? We might be screwed already. I guess my money's on Norway. I just don't know what kind of odds I'm betting on here. I hear it's nice this time of year. P.S. Good luck on keeping your show self-contained. I became a subscriber recently. Well, thank you, Jay. And this is from Joanne in Oceanside, California, who writes, I have one question. If the illegal things that were done by the Bush-Cheney administration had happened under a Democratic president, does anyone think that if Republicans were in control of Congress, that they would hesitate for a nanosecond to hold hearings, subpoena everyone involved, including the president, and then call for drastic action? It would be ongoing 24/7. Remember Ken Starr and how many years he was going after the Clintons? Remember subpoena-happy Representative Dan Burton? There were even hearings on Sox the cat. And all for things trivial compared with the Bush-Cheney illegal acts against the rule of law. They and their Justice Department lied about violating the Constitution in so many instances. If the Obama administration overlooks what they did, he and our nation are going to lose any respect he has gained from other nations. It's embarrassing that Spain is taking action against the Bush-Cheney administration for torture and nothing is being done here on it. Just saying we're not going to do it anymore is not enough. Torture. It already happened. It was lied about to the American people. Let me see now. President Clinton was impeached because he lied about an adulterous act, but it's okay to lie about torture, about illegal surveillance, about the reason we bombed Iraq and are now still in a totally unnecessary war there and on with absolutely no action taken against it? What a slap in the face to what America is supposed to stand for. Joanne in Oceanside, California. Yeah, I'm just absolutely lost. You know, I wish I could be, no, I don't mean that. I was going to say, I wish I could be so goddamn unconscious and brain dead as these right wingers to know exactly, like Hannity or, the fat man or any of these pigs to, they seem so at ease, don't they? They are so self-assured. It's like they know that what they are pushing for, especially Glenn Beck, this poor victim of many family suicides, Glenn Beck, who apparently is becoming, rapidly becoming, the face of the really, really crazy right in this country. It's Glenn Beck who, the only general is Limbaugh, but Beck is certainly a colonel. Colonel Beck, who seems to be having great fun inciting to riot these crazy sons of bitches who listen to him and watch him. They are, you know, Roz is right, and so many of other people have written, they are pushing for another civil war. They really are. They really, truly are. It'd make great television, wouldn't it? Huh? You know, we're about to go, we're about to go bankrupt as a nation financially. We're about to lose freedom. They're pushing, I don't know. I don't know anymore. I feel like, I don't know, a plate of spaghetti. I don't know which way to turn or what to think. I have no idea. I'm glad some of you people are still involved in clarity of mind, because mine is just...
Keep the customers coming around. If you're smart, then you better start dumbing it down. Don't say anything too profound. Dumb it down. I want to hear you.
Arm yourself with the truth. It's more Mike Malloy.
It's 25 before the hour. There's been a lot of talk lately about Rick Perry, this crazy son of a bitch who's the governor of Texas, and Sarah Palin, this crazy son of a bitch who's the governor of Alaska. And there's a few more, with the exception of Alaska. They're mostly in the old Confederate South, threatening to dismantle the United States, or attempt to once again. I think Rick Perry should be arrested by federal marshals and charged with sedition. He is skirting that thin line, and I would not give him the benefit of the doubt. He and Colonel Beck are calling for acts of sedition against the United States, armed sedition against the United States. So, I guess the proof that we don't live yet in a fascistic society is the fact that they can still say that kind of stuff and nothing happens to them. Here in Atlanta, what's his name? He's the editorial writer at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Bookman, thank you, Jay Bookman. The other day he wrote, it wasn't quite the firing on Fort Sumter that launched the Civil War, but on April 1st, your Georgia Senate did threaten by a vote of 43-1 to secede from and even disband the United States. It was not an April Fool's joke. In fact, Georgia Senate Resolution 632 did a lot more than merely threaten to end this country. It stated that under the Constitution, the only crimes the federal government could prosecute were treason, piracy, and slavery. The Georgia Senate declared, quote, "Therefore, all acts of Congress which assume to create, define, or punish other crimes are altogether void and of no force," end quote. In other words, Jay writes, in the infinite, almost unanimous wisdom of the Georgia Senate, Michael Vick is being imprisoned illegally. Bernie Madoff should serve no time for stealing $60 billion. And the Unabomber must go free. In fact, the federal penitentiary in Atlanta should be emptied of its inmates. But wait, there's more. The resolution passed by the Georgia Senate goes on to endorse the theory that states have the right to abridge constitutional freedoms of religion, press, and speech. According to the resolution, it is up to the states to decide, quote, how far the licentiousness of speech and of the press may be abridged, end quote. the licentiousness of speech and the press. The resolution even endorses so-called nullification, the legal concept that states have the power to nullify or ignore federal laws that they believe exceed the powers granted under the Constitution. That concept has a particularly nasty legacy. It helped precipitate the Civil War. And in the 1950s and early 60s, it was cited by Southern states claiming the right to ignore Supreme Court rulings ordering the end of segregation. And finally, the resolution states that if Congress, the President, or the federal courts take any action that exceeds their constitutional powers, the Constitution is rendered null and void, and the United States of America is officially disbanded. As an example, the resolution passed by the Georgia Senate specifically states that if the federal government enacts, quote, prohibitions of type or quantity of arms or ammunition, end quote, the country is disbanded. Guns again. In other words, Jay writes, if Congress votes to restore the ban on the sale of assault rifles, the United States is deemed to no longer exist. This, your Georgia Senate voted 43-1 to endorse. The resolution is part of a radical right-wing national movement. A similar resolution was introduced in the Georgia House, but not voted on. It has been introduced in legislatures all over the nation and has passed in both chambers in Oklahoma and one in South Dakota. And while the Georgia resolution is legally meaningless and was passed without debate or even knowledge of most senators, it has had an impact. It has been hailed by, among others, those fighting the conspiracy to create a single North American country. Yeah, that's sure in force. By the Confederate States Militia, by the John Birch Society, and by the League of the South, which still pines for the cause of an so-called independent South and believes that, quote, Southern society is radically different from the society impressed upon it by an alien occupier. Jesus Christ, Kathy, what are we doing here? Jay finishes by saying, you have to question the judgment of those who would have any luck whatsoever with such nonsense and who would jeopardize the reputation of the Georgia Senate to lend aid and comfort to such radical causes and fringe groups. So it's been endorsed by the Confederate States Militia, the John Birch Society, League of the South. Wow. I don't know what to say. I really don't. Then, you know, why are you in talk radio? I have no idea, because I don't like doing telemarketing, I guess. Richard in Long Beach, California, regarding the Tea Party attendees, writes, why are there very, very, very few people of color attending these meetings? That's something to be discussed. I don't have an answer. And Steve in Longmont writes, Mike, finally joined as a subscriber so I can listen to the program again. Read some comments from an interview with Bob Dylan. I've always admired Dylan's ability to put things into a concise perspective. And his recent comment on Hitler and the people that followed him is just amazing. It also relates to the morons that went to these Tea Party rallies. Chilling in its accuracy. Here's what he said, quote, regarding Hitler. Like, why him? You could see that the man's a total mutt. No Aryan characteristics whatsoever. You couldn't guess his ancestry. Brown hair, brown eyes, pasty complexion, no particular type of stature. That little mustache, raincoat, riding whip, the whole works. But he knew something. He knew that people didn't think. Look at the faces of the millions who worshipped him, and you see that he inspired love. It's scary and sad. The torch of the spoken word. They were glad to follow him anywhere, loyal to the bone. And then, of course, he filled up the cemeteries with them. End quote. Steve in Longmont. What else we got here? Oh, my God. There is just, I guess, no time to take any calls tonight. I apologize for monopolizing the program. Alex in Marblehead, Massachusetts wrote, "Hi, Mike. I'm writing to let you know I'm very upset with the Obama administration's decision not to bring charges against CIA officials for waterboarding. I keep hearing Obama use, quote, moving forward, end quote, as a reason why he does not want to do any of this. This isn't about moving forward. This is about ensuring that waterboarding and other forms of torture are never used again. Doesn't Obama realize that? Does he really believe moving forward is a reason to let these thugs get away with committing terrible acts? Anyway, I'm very upset about this, as well as very disappointed. I thought there might just be a chance that Obama would hold these people accountable, but I guess that's not going to happen. Sincerely, Alex from Marblehead, Mass." Well, we'll all be okay in the morning. You know that as well as I do. You know, when news like this comes out, you know, we here in America have learned, haven't we? We have learned to process the most atrocious acts committed by our government, which is usually Republican, against and sometimes Democrat, our government against people who can't defend themselves, usually people in underdeveloped countries. I know that's an imperialistic word, but you give me a different one. Underdeveloped countries like Vietnam or Panama or Iraq or the list is endless. Jesus God. I mean, you know, just help yourself. There's a whole list. We do that. And because it is part of the unconscious in this country, kind of the, I don't know, is it Jungian? I guess it is. We just don't think about it. We don't think about torture. We torture. Oh, really? We torture. Anybody who had any reason to know, knew back in the late 80s that torture rooms had been found in Honduras on air bases run by the Honduran government that we built, that American tax money built. Honduras was our base during the murder of 200,000 to 300,000 Central Americans. There were torture rooms there and all the implements of torture. And we knew it. And I mean, it was there to be known. And nothing was done then, so why should it be done now? It's about 10 before the hour. Thanks to our crew. Hey, start that over again. I like that music. Right? Is that all we got of that? Thanks to the crew, the usual gang of sedition-minded people. Kathy Bay, Ben Burt, Sharon Gordy, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, and Bruce Enberg. Let's see. This is from Andre. Andre writes, "I think you are right on. Governor Perry should have been swiftly arrested by federal marshals. Do you know how stunned the lunatic fringe would be? F with me and I will F you back is what Obama's attitude should be. They would crawl right back. They would crawl right the hell back to their mountain cabins. The more the Democrats are afraid to take action, well, he who hesitates is lost. Oh, man. And from Jude again, regarding Judge, now Judge Bybee, J.S. Bybee, the one who was so specific in bugs and drowning, simulated drowning, or partial drowning, let's call it that. Jude writes, Bybee, a husband, father of four, a Mormon man of faith, and one of the judges on the Ninth Circuit Court. How can it be humanly possible that he, along with John Yoo, actually wrote out and gave legal approval for these forms of torture and then go home to family, friends, and attend church? I'm at a loss, Mike. I have no frame of reference for this type of existence. Well, you can look to the Nazis, the Nazi high command, and it's all there, I think. And Michael Shearer, writing, I think this is in Time Online, about the Bush, approved the use of insects in Al-Qaeda interrogations. The legal memorandum for the CIA prepared by Assistant Attorney General Jay Bybee reviewed 10 enhanced techniques for interrogating Zubaydah and determined that none of them constituted torture under U.S. criminal law. The techniques were so-called attention grasp, walling, facial hold, facial slapped, slap, cramped confinement, wall standing, stress positions, sleep deprivation, insects placed in a confinement box, and waterboarding. Don't you love those terms? Huh? Don't you love those terms? Goddamn, wouldn't you like to get Jay Bybee somewhere and have a chat with him about how he came up with these terms? Wouldn't that be fun to sit down and talk with him? The CIA desire to use insects during interrogations had not been previously disclosed. The Bybee Memorandum, which was written on August 1st, 2002, described the CIA's plans for using insects this way. Quote, you, the CIA, would like to place Zubaydah in a cramped confinement box with an insect. You have informed us, the Department of Justice, that he appears to have a fear of insects. In particular, you would like to tell Zubaydah that you intend to place a stinging insect into the box with him. You would, however, place a harmless insect in the box. You have orally informed us that you would, in fact, place a harmless insect like a caterpillar in the box with him. End quote. An additional sentence at the end of this paragraph is redacted in the copy made public Thursday. You know what that sentence said? I only said the above there because when these memos become public, I don't want to lose my judgeship that's been promised to me. Actually, fill the box with the most stinging sons of bitching little demons you can get your hands on. Later in the same memo, Bybee concludes that, quote, an individual placed in a box, even an individual with a fear of insects, would not reasonably feel threatened with severe physical pain or suffering if a caterpillar was placed in the box. That's a direct quote from the memo. Bybee adds, however, that the interrogator should not tell Zubaydah that the insect sting would produce death or severe pain. That's another direct quote. Don't tell him that because, that wouldn't be fair. Tell him you're putting a caterpillar in his box.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just have to say something. Do you think at some point that the torturee, the victim, Zubaydah or whoever it was, someone comes up and says, okay, I can't. Here comes the bug box. Wouldn't you just laugh? Wouldn't you just laugh at them? I mean, I would say, my God, you waterboarded me. You slammed me against a wall. You're slapping me. Now you're going to put me in a box of bugs? What's wrong with you, America?
Yeah, you'd think that, wouldn't you?
They must think we're crazy.
Listen, thanks for hanging out tonight. Sorry about the program. Here Comes the Bug Box. When that came out today, when Kathy came in this afternoon and told me that, I had not been watching any news at all. When she came in and said, "Have you heard about the insect form of torture?" I thought, "Oh God, now what? You know, what could this be?" And I knew it wasn't a joke because her eyes were wide open and she was all agitated. You know, she'd come back from the grocery store. She was throwing a head of lettuce into the sink like, "God damn!" And I said, "No, I have what? What are you talking about?" And then I got online and saw that about 20 people had sent me links to the PDF file on this thing. And I started reading it. And all I could think of was Winston Smith in Room 101. I mean, it's right out of the book, and I don't mean the Bible. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.